to be talking about marriage. We're going to be in Matthew. And if you have your Bibles, you can actually turn to Matthew chapter 5. Now, for those that are not married, I don't want you to think, oh, because I'm not married, it doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It actually applies to us, you know, because the way that God has structured our walk as Christians is that Jesus, right, we're married to Jesus. We're literally married to him. And so he has taught us how to live our lives as married unto Jesus. So the reality is that whether you are married here, you know, in the natural, whether you are not, it doesn't matter. This message will apply to you. Let's say you want to be married someday here in the natural. This message applies to you. Amen. Amen. But either way, because like I said, we are all married. We are the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Jesus calls you that. He says, I'm looking for a pure and a spotless bride. Amen. We are married to him. He's married to us. And he says, I want you to understand something. He says, my love for you fills you like you've never, ever, ever understood love before. It's beyond the natural love, the love that Jesus has for us, beyond a natural love. And he wants us to be able to love others in that same way. So he teaches us how to do this, right? And he's the perfect example. And so we have to understand, when we talk about marriage, we have to understand the most perfect marriage, right? The most perfect marriage. And that is the one that Jesus says, I'm married, you're married to me, and I'm coming back for that pure, spotless bride. And he teaches us throughout the time to understand that marriage is a covenant of glory. It is literally a covenant of glory. We understand marriage is a covenant, but it is a covenant of glory. We want to protect, if we're married in the natural, we want to protect that marriage, right? We want to protect the understanding that we're married to Jesus. It's a covenant of glory. It's a relationship that will continually pour out his glory in your life so that you walk together, the two becoming one. Amen? So it's not a contract for convenience, by the way. It's not always convenient, right, to even serve the Lord. It's not always convenient until you go over to that other end, like you're tipped over to the realm of glory, and it really doesn't, it all just doesn't even make sense anymore. Everything is glory. Everything is glorious. It's like what you see is God's overwhelming, complete over, it's like his outpouring. Are you understanding what I meant? Like there's a point in time where you feel like, oh, you know, it's not convenient, but then you get to the place of your walk in Christ, it's like, it's not about convenience. That is like the last thing I even think about. It's the last thing. Oh, I think I got my work cut out tonight. I think I got my work cut out tonight. Are you with me? Are you sure? That's the relationship with us and the Lord. But that's how it's supposed to be between you and your husband and wife as well, right? So in the time that we live in, which we all know, the church, the home, marriage, I mean, it's under attack. We know that it's been like that, right? A constant assault, if you will, right? Where, you know, sometimes godly marriages are hard to find, right? But we want to be a people that understand our marriages here on earth and our covenant contract marriage with the Lord is a kingdom marriage. It's a kingdom contract. You are literally, it's a kingdom assignment, right? And so, you know, the world is shocked when they hear of someone that has been married for, you know, many, many years. My husband and I have been married for 40 years. I am proud to say that. I am grateful unto the Lord for what he has done, right? We're so grateful for unto the Lord what he has done. I mean, marriage takes work, right? It takes work, but the world is shocked when someone stays together, right? But oh no, 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 no. We are going to understand something. We're guarding our hearts. In Matthew chapter 5, which we're going to get into here in a moment, but Jesus teaches us about guarding our hearts. We need to guard our hearts because literally it's the home, our homes, where we live, and then both our relationship with Jesus being our home. This, our home, is invincible. It needs to be that way in our mindset. Invincible. Your walk with Jesus, invincible. Your home life, your relationships, invincible. Proverbs 4 and 23 tells us this. Proverbs 4, 23. Guard your hearts, right? Guard your heart, for out of it are all the issues of life, which means everything flows from the heart. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Out of our heart, right? Right? So what makes a great marriage? You could all start saying all these different things, but I'll tell you one thing. It's the pursuit of holiness. When you understand, whether it's a natural marriage here on earth, whether it's your relationship, because you're married to Jesus, it is your pursuit of holiness that changes everything. You want to pursue a life of holiness, because that is what God is looking for. You walking holy unto the Lord and with God, and then in your marriage if you are married, right? So we are in Matthew and chapter 5, and we're going to start reading here in verse 28. And I think this is very, very important, because we need to protect. Now, of course, I'm talking about our natural marriages at this moment, but we need to protect our marriage from the enemy's prowl. Amen? Let me just go ahead and read it. Verse 28 says, but I say, well, let me start in 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. We need to understand that our eyes window to our soul. We want to watch what we look at, right? Pursuit of holiness. The pursuit of, why? Because everything flows from our hearts, right? But what we see is going to affect our heart. A godly marriage is a covenant marriage, and it's centered on Christ's holiness. So we want to protect that marriage. We want to protect our marriage here on earth, right? Those that, if you're married, but we want to protect our relationship with the Lord as well, and your contract, your holy contract unto Him. It's a covenant. It's sacred. For those that are not married here in the natural, I want you to know that God has called you to be separate and set apart, and it's not just anybody that would fit that assignment for you. It's the right person. And He loves you enough to show you to who that would be, but He'll cause you to wait until you're ready as well. Because you want to be ready, so then when you're ready, God will bring that person that it's like this match made in heaven. There's too many people that get married way too soon, and they're not ready, and guess what they end up receiving, right? A mess. And I think some people could speak to that. But Christ's holiness, pursue holiness over happiness. I mean, this is true whether you're married here on earth as well as your relationship with the Lord. Pursue holiness. When people pursue happiness, that's a train wreck ready to happen, isn't it? When you shift your mindset and you understand, I'm going to pursue holiness. I'm not trying to pursue, this doesn't make me happy. Well, that makes me happy, but this doesn't make me happy. Well, the focus is on you still, isn't it? Right? But when you pursue holiness, Lord, remove from me that which doesn't please you. I want to pursue holiness. When you pursue holiness, happiness follows suit. But it's the truest form of happiness, right? And you really think about any relationship, whether it's just a friend to friend. Doesn't even have to be just marriage. Just happens to be. We are going through the Gospel of Matthew, and the portion of Scripture that we're in right now talks about marriage. But this is true for any relationship. Pursue holiness. Friend to friend. Pursue holiness. Why? Because in pursuing holiness for yourself and for that relationship, you will find God's covenant mercy upon your life and in that relationship, and it will be everything and far beyond more than you even ever knew to ask for. And it will be such a beautiful downpour from heaven, that relationship. And you will learn how to walk in a way that the world doesn't teach you. It teaches you the opposite. Pursuing holiness in our marriage is really important. Pursuing holiness in every relationship is really important. Pursuing holiness in our own walk personally before the Lord is critical. Say, it's critical. Glory to God. Otherwise, people are like, well, I'm not happy anymore. Or I fell out of love. Okay? Well, you may not be happy, but are you holy? You may not be happy in your marriage, but are you holy in your marriage?
I want to take a moment right now and just thank you for your continued financial support to this ministry and for your faithful partnership in prayer. You know, the Lord is doing amazing things, and I am just at awe at what He is doing, how many souls are being reached for the kingdom because of people like you that have partnered with us. So I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you for your continued prayer and your continued support as lives are being reached for the kingdom. It's all for the purposes of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's get back to the teaching.
We should be doing a marriage seminar. Are you holy in your marriage? Isn't it true? Because a holy marriage is a happy marriage. When both people prioritize the holiness of God, when both are prioritizing the holiness of God, when both are prioritizing a deep covenant relationship, when you are prioritizing a deep covenant relationship filled with God's Spirit, continually learning who He is and what He's called you to do, how He's called you to be, you start to see the joy that God gives you in any relationship, marriage or otherwise, is something that you start to, like, it's like bliss. Overwhelming God saturating you with His realm of glory. There's a joy and a peace that falls afresh upon you. You may not have had it before, but all of a sudden, because you're pursuing holiness in marriage, in friendship, personally, you get filled. A different mindset starts to fill you. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. I'm going to keep going. Verse 28. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Huge, isn't it? Horrible. But we have to understand that we need to guard our eyes because we're guarding our hearts in doing so. God wants a church that's holy. He wants His bride to be holy. So we don't want to have our eyes looking at things that they shouldn't be looking at. Now, ladies, men are very visual. And so it's very important that we also don't cause them to stumble. And don't you just wish that this was preached even more? Don't you just wish that this was preached even more? I mean, I preach the Word of God here in this church. But I'm talking about at large. You don't need to show every curve. You don't need to, it's not good. Some things need to be kept for your marriage, for your spouse. It's why there's so much adultery in the church. Because the world's standards have infiltrated the church. And people compromise and think, well, it's just the fashion nowadays. Well, it's just this or that. Well, I'm sorry, but you know what? If you're causing your brother to stumble, it's not okay, and that is not pursuing holiness. You can like fashion and still not be a stumbling block. And men, lest you think I was only going to talk to the women. Sometimes your eyes are just like, you're like, uh-oh, like it's right in front of you, something, right? And it doesn't even have to be in church. It could be anywhere. And you're like, great, you know? You don't have to stare. You can look down. You can look away. You know, sometimes the best advice is just practical advice. Sometimes it's just practical advice. Think something crosses your eyes. You were not prepared for it. Look away. Self-control. Self-control. You all act like she's saying that. Yes. Yes. I told you we've been married for 40 years. I told him when we were first married, I said, I mean, he's always a very faithful man, but I used to be very insecure. And, man, if he was looking at a girl, he'd be like, I'm not looking at her. You're looking her direction. I have him trained. Poor guy. Because, like, I don't know if you tell the guys this in your men's group or not, but I'll go ahead and share it. But, no, seriously, like, I used to be so insecure. And I would tell him, you know, like, I know you're looking at her. I know you're looking that way. I know you're looking at her. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. And so, like, he'd get in trouble all the time. He would get in trouble. And I would tell, so you know what Phil learned to do? Look the other way, look down, look anywhere but where there was a woman. You know, I'm better now. I'm better now. But he's still very faithful about that. He doesn't stare. He doesn't gawk. And we shouldn't. Men, you shouldn't. Whether you have a problem, he didn't have a problem. I had the problem. I was insecure. So it doesn't matter who has the problem, does it? Because we know the devil is what? He's crafty. Doesn't matter. He didn't have the issue. He never has been that kind of a person. Never. But I was insecure. And you know what? God, he listened. I mean, we kind of finally got it figured out, and he finally learned to just look down. But I just think that sometimes practical advice is the best advice. And I don't care about sharing that with you all. You know why? Because if it helps one person, whether you're here in this room or online, then you know what? I'm glad. I'm glad. Because you know what? It's important for you, for all of us, to safeguard our marriages. You know, we don't go to, like, we made this agreement a long, long time ago, but we don't go, like, I don't go to lunch with a friend that happens to be a male that, you know, but it's just lunch and it's just a friendship. We don't do that. He doesn't do that either with women. Safeguards. Safeguards. It's important. People get into emotional relationships. They get into emotional affairs. Why? Because they can talk so freely and so easily with this other person of the opposite sex. And they would just start it out as a friendship. I don't care. Shut it down. I don't care. And you shouldn't either. You should be like, no. Well, they're fine. They're just friends. And you have no wisdom. Right? So that's just obviously practical relationship just here on earth. But also, if you're not married and one day, you know what? Think about this. Remember, you want a man that's going to honor you. You want a woman that's going to respect and love you. You want a relationship that God is breathing on. Right? And not every relationship God is breathing on, by the way. Not every person that walks your way is heaven sent. For those that are not married. I'm making it plain. Trying to make it plain. And sometimes you're just better off single, by the way. Sometimes you're just better off single. Why? Because you're married, praise God, in the back. Because you're married to Jesus. Because we are married to him. So, best husband. Amen. Best husband. Now let's go to verse 32 of Matthew 5. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except for sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Right? It's these strong, divorce based on the grounds of sexual immorality is permitted. We know that. The Bible is clear about that. I also believe, personally, I believe that Scripture can back up divorce based on abuse, any kind of abuse. I believe that we can make a scriptural defense on that as well. Any kind of abuse in this marriage. It's like, you know, God does not want you abused. He doesn't want you to be betrayed. He doesn't want that. It's not of God. Now, is it better to stay and work it out? If you can. Absolutely, if you can. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad if they were married and it didn't work out and there was a divorce. It, like I said, it has infiltrated the church. At the same time, God doesn't want you stuck in a place of being so beating up yourself up that you're just so stuck in that position. Guess what? God sanctifies and redeems would you give him? Some are in their second marriage. Right? Some people, it's like, I want you to understand. Today, God is saying, I want you to know this, that he is breathing his life upon you. But he wants you to live today holy, because he is the God of second chances. And he's given you the opportunity to walk in a way that says, wow, Lord, I want you to take this marriage, if you're married, and I want you to purify it, and I want it to be holy, and I want it to make, so I want it to make where it matters to other people. Like, it's the people see, wow, there's a difference. There's such a structure. There's such a surety. There's such a godly walk with between the two of them. That's what we're called to do. So, you can all breathe because, I'm actually not talking about divorce tonight. It just happens to be the portion of scripture, and I felt like it was important to at least touch on it. But I'm actually not talking about divorce. You can all breathe. Oh, thank God. but I am talking about our godliness in our marriages. Godliness, because Jesus raised the standard. And so when we go to Genesis 2 and 24, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. They shall become one flesh, right? The two becoming one. That's what God calls for us to do. We are also one with the Spirit of the living God. The best marriage is the marriage that has Jesus right at the center of that marriage. Any relationship that you would have, the only way for that marriage to be its fullest is to have Christ at the very center. Every friendship, any relationship, how about a mother or a father to a daughter or a son? Any relationship, have Christ at the center. If you're dating, have Christ at the center. If you're dating, make sure that you have so fasted and prayed and sought the Lord, and don't waste your time if God says he's not the one. Move on. Hashtag moving on. It's true. Men. God has called you, he's called you to lead through a sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. Husbands are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Christ loves the church, right? Husbands are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church, which means laying down their lives in service. That's what true love is. Laying down your lives in service unto the Lord. And ladies, we've been called to respect and honor and to love our husbands, serving as a helpmate. Now, ladies in this room, you understand what the word helpmate means, if you were in my class when I taught it. And it does not mean subservient. You're not subservient to a man. You're not lesser. Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. I will make him a helper comparable. Helpmate. Helpmeet. Helper. Same root word. Same root word. It means a strength or an aid or a helper. Who else is the helper? The Holy Spirit. I can hear the women. I can hear my husband. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit lesser than God? Holy Spirit's not lesser than God. Just a different role, isn't it? Different role, right? Wives, you're not lesser than your husbands. Women, you're not lesser than a man, right? We are to complement one another. Our lives are to come, different roles, different functions, true, but we're to complement. Our lives are to complement one another. You can do your own word study on that word helper And if you're writing down notes, Psalm 121, because I'm not going there right now. Psalm 121, 1 and 2. Psalm 33 and verse 20 are a couple more places where you can do your own word study on that. So to have a holy marriage, we really have to understand Ephesians 5. So let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5. And we are going to start in verse 21. And I love this scripture because it levels out the playing field right away. It says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And if we would honestly, not just as married couples, but as anyone, like any relationship, if we would understand the scripture right here, submitting to one another in the fear of God, like all of our relationships would just be that much better, right? We submit to one another in the fear of God. But then it goes on, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. I got some things to say about this. I just want to read it first. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church. This is Jesus speaking of the church, of the bride, a spotless bride, a glorious bride. Jesus laid his life down for the church. And husbands are to lay their lives down for their wives. And wives, we are to be people that understand this type of sacrificial love and have that same respect and honor. How beautiful that sacrament of marriage would be if the roles were truly understood in the way that Christ wants us to understand them, correct? So verse 27, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Goes on, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Let's stop right there. To understand what a holy marriage would be is to understand this portion of scripture right here. And we have to understand that mutual submission is biblical. Mutual. Submitting to one another in the fear of God, right? Amen? So wives should submit to their own husbands. Biblical submission, do you know what biblical submission is? Because it's not the same as feeling inferior because you're not. Jesus submitted himself to the will of God. Jesus submitted himself to the will of the Father, but he was still Jesus. And he wasn't any less, but he understood roles. So biblical submission is not blind obedience. Biblical submission, not blind obedience. And respect comes from the heart. I hope you're hearing me right now. Wives, you're not to submit to stupidity. In 1 Samuel 25, yeah, you knew I was going to go there, Carrie. Abigail, this is Old Testament, but Abigail did not submit to Nabal's foolish ways. Ladies in this room that are part of Equip for Your Calling are very, very confident as to what I'm talking about because they've already had the whole teaching. Abigail did not submit to stupidity, but she still was respectful. You can still be submitted, yet in charge in the area that God has called you to be. Oh my, I told you I was going to have my work cut out for me, and I can tell. My goodness. Abigail did not operate out of rebellion, though, did she? That's the key. People are like, oh yeah, that's right. No, and then they get this rebellious attitude. That's not what I'm talking about. She did not operate out of rebellion because you know what? We would answer before God if we did that, right? No, she did not operate out of rebellion, but out of integrity and out of wisdom. Out of integrity and out of wisdom. And husbands are called to lay down their lives, to lay down their lives for their in service to their wives. If you are single and you are looking, you're like, oh, I just really want to be married. I just really want to be married. Do you know that you need to look for a man that God has called that is going to lay his life down for you? That's what you're looking for. But he's so cute. Well, I hope there's more to it than just that. Right? Because Jesus laid his life down for those that he loves, and he loves us. And that portion of scripture that I just read where it says the husband is the head of the wife does not mean that he is like, oh, authority over her in a way of headship. Headship is not authority, but laying your life down. Because people get even the word headship completely out of context. And they think power. And they think absolute power. But in reality, again, it's laying down. It's headship is not lordship. They're not lord over you. We're to submit to one another in the fear of God. It's a mutual love, a mutual respect. It's an honor of one another. I personally believe this, because sometimes people go, oh, it's kind of confusing, but it really isn't that confusing. It's really not that confusing. If you both take the posture of loving one another as Christ has already loved you, deferring to one another, being kind and compassionate to one another, and treating the other as you would have wanted to be treated, you know what? That would solve so many other problems, right? Now, we're talking about a marriage that would be both people are fairly healthy. Sometimes it's not the case, is it? Sometimes it's so one side so dysfunctional, sometimes both sides, but so dysfunctional, right? And so that obviously would be a different conversation, huh? That you need training and teaching and prayer and help to get through some of those difficult things. But let me tell you, God is for marriage. And it's beautiful when it can be done right, when it is done right, when we hear him and we press into him. So don't go rushing off and getting married. I just know. Let there be some accountability. Right, sweet girl? Because you're waiting and believing for God to bring the right person. Then he will. His timing will be perfect. But if we're both operating from Matthew 6:33, if we're both operating from Matthew 6:33, if you yourself, single, are operating from Matthew 6:33, when you're seeking first the kingdom of God in every area of your life, you're seeking first, whether it's marriage, whether it's a business, opportunity, whether it's a schooling, it doesn't really matter, whether it's pursuing God in ministry. If you are looking and you are pursuing the presence of God, what does he say in the matter? The Bible says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first, not second, not third. See, this is what takes place. People don't seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They just run into the relationship that they thought was so good. And then years later, they're miserable. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Either we believe God at his word or we don't. Do we believe that God says, and all of these things shall be added unto you when you seek me first? We seek God first and he says, I'm going to give you what's best. I want to give you what's best. Amen. Thank you, Father. So both partners, and like I said, even if this is not a marriage that you're looking, it's just a relationship, seeking first his kingdom. So critical. Amen? So a holy marriage, really and truly any relationship, is based on 1 Corinthians 13. Sometimes people call it the love chapter because it's true. But I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians 13. Because here's the bottom line. If you don't have love, you don't have anything. Right? It's just noise. If we don't have love, we're operating out of noise. It says, I am nothing, by the way. If you don't have love, not only do you not have anything, but you are nothing. And it profits you nothing. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become like a sounding brass or like a clanging cymbal. That's just noise. We don't want our lives to just be noise. We want our lives to be, when anyone sees you, you want them to say, you know what, they're filled with the love of God. To those that are single, when people see, what are they going to say about you? They're filled with the love of God. To those that are married, what do you want people to say? Well, I hope you want them to say, wow, they are individually and then also together as a couple filled with the love of God. Isn't that the heart of the Father? Isn't that what God wants for each and every one of us? And is it possible? Yes. But don't we first need to receive that love? Don't we first need to be healed? Don't we first need to really start? That's why every time you come and you're filled with this overwhelming love. Guess what? Every relationship in your life is getting better and better because God's love is infiltrating you. And that is the bottom line. It is love. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Well, you can have all these gifts flowing, right? I have all faith so that I could move mountains. But if I don't have love, the Bible says I'm nothing. It's not just for married people. It's for every person. It's for every individual, every age, no matter what your age is. It's for every single individual. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. In other words, all the things that we do, but we do them outside of the love of God, it doesn't profit. It will not profit you. Love suffers long. It's patient. Love is patient. It suffers long. It's kind. Love does not envy. It means jealousy. Don't walk with the spirit of jealousy. It doesn't parade itself. It's not puffed up. It's not filled with pride. How many of you guys can tell when somebody walks in pride? You can tell. Is it attractive? No. Is it kind of repulsive? It is to me. Is it repulsive? It's okay to be honest in church. Is it okay to be honest in church? It's repulsive, isn't it? It's like, oh my goodness. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It's not proud. It's not boastful. Love does not behave rudely. You mean when I was rude that time, that's not love? Exactly. Do we all hit this mark every single time? No. But should we try? Yes. Should we say, Lord, help me? Yes. Because this is the definition of what God says is love, right? So it doesn't behave rudely. It does not seek its own. Think about that right there for one moment. It doesn't seek its own. It's looking at, how can I help you? How can I help? What do you need? How can I help you? Just that one statement. How simple, how practical, how easy. Is that true for every relationship? How can I help? How far would you go with that one statement? Pretty far. Pretty far. Try it. Pretty far. In other words, the favor of God on your life just by having this other's mindset will fill you with his joy and peace, because that's how God operates. You walk with a selfless love, he fills you with more. It's true. Yes, absolutely. Doesn't seek his own. It's not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. I need to go back. Thinks no evil. Yes. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never fails. It never fails. I mean, if the Bible says love never fails, and then he describes to us how to walk in that love, you're not going to always feel like doing it. We're not going to always feel like doing this, but at the same time, we don't walk by our feelings. Feelings are good, by the way. It's just that we're not supposed to be led by them, right? We're supposed to make sure we're led by the Spirit of God, led by truth, right? And so we want to make sure. Love always wins. We rejoice in what God has called us to rejoice in. We want our marriages, those that are married, to be a covenant marriage, to be holy marriages. For those that are seeking to be married, they want to be married. You want to have your marriage be a holy marriage, one that heaven has called you to, right? The Lord, one that the Lord has called you to, one that he has also said, this right here, this is what I have for you. And this is what we want as believers. For some, God says, you know what? You're called to be single, and it's a good thing because there are things that God wants you to do, and to be single is the best way to do it. Now, you'll see there's a grace upon that, and only for those that have that kind of a grace, correct? But there are those that have that. And if that's your calling, guess what? 24/7 with Jesus. Praise the Lord. 24/7 with the Lord. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. And then you know what? Those of us that are married, Mary, Alan, you know, like, there, you know, Jose, you know, Marie, like, we, you know, you know, all over here, the first few on this row here. Like, we know that our marriages are given over unto the Lord. He has done, Kelly, right? He has done and still is doing. I don't believe anybody has arrived. Celebrating your anniversary here tonight. He is doing the work of sanctification. God is doing it, if we let him. He's doing the work of sanctification. Pastor Vijay, even as I'm looking around, like, I didn't realize we had so many married people, right? Pastor, so he is doing the work of sanctification, no matter where you are at in your marriage, right? He is doing a work of sanctification, and that's what we want. We want him to sanctify our marriages. We want him to sanctify our call. We want him to continually show us where it is that we need to have a deeper realm of sensitivity for our husband, our spouse, right? Our wife, our husband. We need to have that deeper sense of sensitivity. How can I best serve this individual? Because this is what Jesus does for us. He lays his life down. And this is what we're to do for one another. Serve one another well. Serve one another well. For all of us, married or not married. Serve one another well. Recognize that we, as the body of Christ, get to have marriages and relationships that are 100% given over to the Lord first. Given over to the Lord first. If you are, because I was saying, you know, if you're single, you know, 24/7 with the Lord. For those that are married, God sanctified your marriage, you should still have that same heart, 100% and 24/7 with Jesus. You can be 24/7 with Jesus and still be married and still respect and honor your spouse. And if you don't believe that, then you don't understand how God has called us to walk. Always God first. Always, always him first. He should never be second. Even for those that are married in this room and they have good marriages, Jesus should never be second. Always first. Amen? I believe that if we were to teach on this, you know, things like this. I mean, we're going through Matthew right now, so this is why we're talking about this, and it's good. I'm glad. But I believe that the church needs to hear and see good examples and the fact that it's so possible to have strong, godly marriages when Christ is at the center. And that doesn't mean perfect. Because there's healing and there's growth, but that means God says holiness is what I desire. Holiness is what I'm looking for. Is that something that we say, Lord, that's what we want. That's what I want. And not just in marriage, but in every relationship, starting with my relationship with the Lord, right? Our relationship with the Lord. Holiness.